You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
You are now listening to In Detroit Podcast, only on Podcast Detroit Network. Watch us live on Facebook at In Detroit Podcast or download the Podcast Detroit app. And if you want in on the convo, give us a call in Studio One at 248-579-5295. Now here's your host, T. Thomas, Robert Courtney, and Doris Haig.
Yo, it's another Thursday. Welcome, everybody, back again to In Detroit Podcast. We are your host,
Robert Courtney.
I'm Doris Haig.
And T. Thomas.
Hey,
you know what?
You already know.
Sometimes.
Updating my post.
Sometimes. Like, you know when Rob busy because he, like, he not, he sets the groove. You know what I'm saying? So if he not on for the groove, like, it's all fucked up from the way all the way over.
It's funny that you say that. That's.
You do.
You're not the first.
You set the groove, dog. Like you gotta go first. If you don't go first, it's like
right.
You know, whatever. But anyway, welcome back. What show are we on?
22? 22.
Jessica, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
I'm good.
How you doing, Jessica?
I'm getting better.
Getting better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. We should all get better every day.
Drinking like 2 weeks.
That's
so
even
weird.
Better. You know what? Don't
I'm like
stop.
Hydrated. I just realized I've been dehydrated for like 10 years.
It's a good and a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah.
The bad part is when you drink again, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, I'm going to be wasted. Yeah. I'm going to have like one shot and be like,
you're going to be out of here.
Yeah. I'm glad you're better though.
Me too. That
really?
Was scary.
Yeah. Everybody, it was like a whole, like an epidemic going on.
Mercury retrograde.
Oh boy,
it was Mercury.
Do we blame everything on Mercury retrograde?
I set it up though. My bad. I set that up. I set that up on purpose.
It only happens 3 times a year.
Oh okay.
So
what is that, a moon thing or something?
Yeah. So it's basically Mercury, the planet, is literally going backwards.
Oh.
And so what it happens is more people are agitated because of things like it shows up the past, like past people will show up, past things that you're like pissed at will show up.
Oh, shit.
And it always happens.
Speaking of past things showing up, we got a doctor on this show today. Dr. Love is what I like to call him.
tell us
your real name.
Dr. Eddie Connor.
Damn, and he got on. He's like, Dr. Eddie Connor. Good afternoon, ladies. So we got a book out. It's called Woman. One of many books.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and what you got here for us, Doc.
Without a doubt. Glad to be on your show. Y'all have a lot of sense of humor and fun.
I
love the mix of it already.
I ain't even start cussing yet.
Oh, boy.
Very early.
It's coming.
I'm a son of the city. I'm from the east side of Detroit.
Word.
Warren and Connor represent. So,
okay. All
right. There it is. Connor on Connor.
Right now.
You got to ring the bell again.
There we go.
And so I do a lot of work in the community. I believe in rolling up my sleeves as a college professor, as a community advocate, especially for our young people. Okay. And then also as a survivor of stage 4 cancer. And I share my story as a writer of 8 books. And my most recently, you know, which I'm going to talk about today, Woman.
Nice.
Yeah. Dope.
Nice. Well, thank you for being here, Doctor.
Oh, glad to.
And the reason I brought that up is because Dora's talking all this crazy shit. So I want you to keep analyzing. Stay focused.
I told them that you're going to analyze us throughout the show.
No, we're going to analyze you, Doris. Okay? You're giving us the most juice.
You're the only woman
right
in the house.
You're the only woman in the house.
Yeah, it is.
Woman, you know, for the woman.
There it is. Yeah. Oh,
you're the voice. All the women out there depending on you right now.
They are dependent. You, everybody, this the weight. You should feel the weight on your shoulders right now.
What?
No, I will not feel the weight on me.
I am an individual
woman of who I am, and all the women are going to get something, and the men are going to get something from this.
I'm sure.
They can chime in. They can call. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can comment. They can ask questions.
So if you want to comment, make sure you guys comment on our Facebook Live. You guys can also call into the station live. I forget the number. Jessica Jones, what's the number?
248-579-5295.
All right. That's the number for you guys. So if you guys want to chime, want to talk, you know, go ahead and say whatever you want to say.
So I can turn it off. Can we turn the light off?
Yeah, can we? Oh, yeah. It's, oh.
In my eyeball.
Oh, man. I was like, what's going on? Jessica Jones. Like,
so bad.
What is going on? Shit.
There you go. It's off.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I didn't know. Doris turned it off. Blame Doris.
Okay.
All right. Jessica Jones. Hey,
Mercury retrograde.
No sound effects?
No, I'm fresh out. They got to be loaded back in. Sorry.
Why did they do that to us? Anyway, we're going to get into it then. These are the 365 things that will scare the shit out of you. This is a new trend. This is a new thing we're doing here on the show, right? Every show we talk about some things that will scare the shit out of you, some facts, some fun facts, right? So we all know, do you guys know like what groups of animals are called? Like, you know, like a group of geese.
Herds?
A group of geese is called?
I don't know.
Gander, maybe.
A flock. A gander. Is it a gander of geese or is it a flock?
You're looking at me?
I don't know.
Don't you get the answers
in
your hand?
It's a school of fish. Right? I mean, okay, but that's not it, though.
Okay.
So, a group of cockroaches is called an intrusion. Did you know that?
No, didn't know that.
Did you know that?
Thought it was orchid.
There you go. Orchid. There we go. There is a world champion masturbator. Okay. His name is Masambu Sato. And he holds the record for 9 hours and 58 minutes.
Jeez, oh Pete. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
In one sitting?
In one sitting.
Oh my God. How does he still have skin left?
My question is, why is he so goddamn lazy? He couldn't go for the extra minute and get the fucking full second. Go. All right, now.
You're shit. Like a crazy
All right, here we go. There are as many as 3,000 types of bacteria on a dollar bill. Did you know that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I bet you there's a lot of cocaine on them, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Probably. All right. Yeah. Zingers.
This is the present I gave for Christmas.
Okay. I got one more left. All right. More than 2,500 left-handed people are killed each year by using products made for right-hand people.
Whoa. Really?
Okay.
Scary, isn't
it? Like, what could that be?
Who's left-handed in here?
Nobody?
We're safe.
Anybody?
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So let's get into the doctor's book.
Let's talk about this. Tell us a little bit about what the book is about, doctor.
Well, the book Woman, you know, was written from a perspective. I see the word woman as not as a noun, but as a verb. Okay. Simply because women are action-oriented. And I define the word woman as wonderfully orchestrating magnanimous achievements naturally.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what real women are. That's what they do. Anything you give a woman, she multiplies.
Hey, look at Dora. She can't even say nothing.
You give a woman a house, she'll turn into a home. You give her furniture, she'll decorate that home. You give her a grocery, she'll give you a meal. You give her some stress, she'll also give you some mess, too.
Oh, yes.
So, just really, I wanted to really encourage women just through three words. You are enough. You know, in a climate and an age and stage of Time's Up and Me Too. And then when you think about how 2% of women on magazines and TV screens, in many cases, control how 98% of women feel about themselves.
Wow.
You got to love yourself. You got to love the skin you're in and recognize your value and your worth. And that's what I really wanted to unveil with this book.
I got a question. So can you, like, what's your background? Like, what was your upbringing? Like, give us a little bit of that.
Well, I came from a home with a very strong mother. My father wasn't in my life much. My parents were married, and even prior to their divorce, when he was present physically, he was absent, you know, mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally. So, my mother raised me as a very stick-to-itive mom, and you know, she's one of those helicopter moms to a certain degree. But it panned out, and I mean, she'd stand in front of the door until I opened it, you know, to try to rear me as to treat her like a gentleman would, because based on how I treat her, is how I'm going to treat any other woman.
Right.
So that really was that place, and I was at a serious crossroads at the age of 15. I was having chest pains, and generally as men, we try to, or boys, we try to mask our pain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you fall off a bike at 4, stop crying, be a man. Oh, right. I'm 4, I'm not 44. Show me what to do after I cry that it's all right. Experiencing these chest pains, long story short, can't breathe by halftime watching a football game over my friend's house. His mother takes me to the hospital. My mother shows up, and they need to do a CT scan of the chest. The doctors do take me to surgery immediately after they see that there's a mass growing in my body. Cut me open to see my cells growing so aggressively they could see them growing with the naked eye. Wind up being diagnosed with NHL. I thought it was National Hockey League. I said, I'm getting ready to be the youngest owner of a National Hockey League team. I'm a black kid who never played hockey. You know, I know Jordan, not Wayne Gretzky. So he says, no, you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm like, doc, my first language is Ebonics. I'm still trying to learn English. What do you mean?
Right.
He says, you have not one, not two, not three, four. I'm like, $4? What? And he says, you have stage 4 cancer.
Mm. Wow.
So for the next 2 years, chemotherapy, radiation, 5 days a week out of school my sophomore year, literally wanted to give up and die. Without my mom, without, you know, my prayer life and God in my life, I wouldn't have made it.
Right.
You know, and so it really showed me the strength of a woman who fought for me when I didn't even want to fight for myself.
That's deep. I mean, I love what you just said. Mm-hmm. That is something phenomenal. And we had a conversation outside a little bit about that, is like the stresses that we have in our body, but illness can hit you. Like, and you hear of stories of cancer survivors. You hear of stories of cancers that don't get survived.
Yeah.
Do you think your will to push forward and that you have a place on this earth that you're supposed to do something was a factor?
Yeah. You know, I really believe as long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And even through the place of that pain, when I was watching my hair fall out of my head and my body literally disintegrating before my very eyes, I decided to muster up the strength on the inside, because the battle for cancer wasn't so much physical as it was psychological. And, you know, as we were talking, psychosomatic illnesses, and, you know, the doctor said, well, did you smoke? Did you do this? I said, no, I didn't do nothing, any of that sort. And I think it might have been stress triggered, you know, the stress that I had, the anger that I had, even with my father not being there, the bitterness that probably set in.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things probably were a combination of that, but I had to beat something that was literally beating me. And especially after losing two family members of cancer earlier, even in my life, I decided to push through the pain.
Now, is that a part of like a process of creating all these other books and then you've evolved to this point, or are they all kind of different, completely different purposes for everyone?
Yeah, completely different. I'm glad you asked that question, because it was a evolutionary process to get to this stage. You know, I generally, my first book was about me persevering, purposefully prepared to persevere. I tried repurpose called Finding the Can in Cancer. Another book's about finding your gift and overcoming obstacles. Then there was one to men. Before I ever wrote a book to women, I wrote one to men called My Brother's Keeper. And then evolving from that to a place of, after I've encouraged men, I think one thing to do is one thing that we don't really talk about. We can talk about money, sports, and women, but it's not really from the place of empowering women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Generally, it's about how many you've conquered.
Right.
Or how many, you know, who looks good, who's this, that, and the other. And so it's misogynistic.
Right.
You know, and so coming to a place of personal development and seeing that there's value in uplifting our women.
Right.
You know, no nation can rise higher than its women is the quote that says that. And Malcolm X says this. He says, out of any woman, especially on the planet, black women are the most neglected, unprotected, and disrespected. And so to really stand on the front lines with those women who don't stand on the sidelines when we generally are on there and say, hey, let's get in the fight with you. I want to be an ally.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that's what it's about.
I can dig it. So now, I like what? That you said.
He's looking at me right now. What?
So let's have a conversation about women. Now, I agree with everything that you say, right? Because, I mean, I come from a single-parent home. You know, my mother raised me. And one thing that my mother, like, if without my mother, I would not, it's a lot of things I would not have overcome. Like, and I'm just sitting here listening to your story. Like, man, that is amazing. Like, that is a whole nother level of being what you, either taking, like, taking it and using it as, taking your mental strength and overcoming something, right? And when you start talking about a woman, now, this is one thing that I do understand about this. I have never... I've had plenty of opportunities, right, with plenty of women, right? But I have never felt the way that I feel about a particular woman than the woman that I'm with right now, right? And I get that. And I understand, like, how, you know, like, I feel like without her, like, she makes me better, you know? Good. And what she does, like, even when I'm – I was, like, one day we were sitting in a restaurant and I'm working on a campaign – and I'm trying to figure out some numbers for some walking numbers and some stuff like that. And I'm sitting there the whole time I'm doing this. I'm not thinking she's paying me any attention. We're waiting for a table, right? I'm sitting here adding up this stuff and doing. I'm like, all right. So we need five. We do five. I can have you do every five. Can do 50. She goes, no, that's not what you need to do. You need them to do 85, right? And then if you break it down like this, this is exactly what you're gonna get a day, and so you can finish it in a week. And I'll turn around, look, and she's like, we're sitting out eating dinner, and I'm looking at her, and I'm just smiling because I'm like, I cannot believe, like, wow, like, you make me better. Like, you make me, like, the person that I'm supposed to be. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there, she's like, why are you looking at me like that? And I'm like, man, because I just don't like, the closest feeling I can have to that is my mother. Like, because my mother made me a better person. She always was there for my best interest. You know what? And to be in a relationship with someone and to value someone like that, like, and to have them, like, value you that much to even pay you attention to when, you know, like, when you're working and doing something, say, hey, you know what? Let me help you out real quick.
Right, right.
This is what you need, right? Because in the long run, for me, I feel like this is benefiting both of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so obviously, you know, she in this with me, you know what I'm saying? So it makes me feel like 100% better. So like I am with that.
Oh, absolutely, brother. I am that's down. Powerful right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so I mean, but we said before the show started, we've been listening to Doris all day. Okay. Now, we're going to have you have a conversation here with Doris. And let's get some things out here. Doris.
Let's do it.
Doris, we're going to find you a husband. Right now, today, on In Detroit Podcast. And let me say this.
I think people will tune in for that.
Let me say this, though. Let me say this. This is a disclaimer. We don't know weirdos. Because, you know, Doris get the weirdos and shit. Like, we don't want the weirdos chasing Doris around because we will get at you. All right? So, weirdos, stop messing with Doris. But we about to find Doris a man today.
Okay.
And the doc is about to.
Are you supposed, Dr. Eddie, are you supposed
to? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. No. All right, doc.
Are we going to? Well, and I will tell you some of the stuff I'm going through and go from your book, like some of the stuff that maybe I'm going through. So I've been single for a long time.
First of all, you know you're going to be doing this until you walk out the door tonight, right?
I'm going to be calling.
Okay. I'm just like, you know.
I feel it.
All right. You got 27 minutes. Yeah.
So, long story short is I've been single for a long time. But honestly, I know people say that is like I have never been one to go to a relationship. I just don't. Until I heal the shit that I have going on, I'm not moving forward.
Yes.
And right now, I'm healing stuff from a past relationship that was really, really, really brutal mentally, everything. And I've been having fun being single. Yeah. I've been having fun just figuring me out. I don't have to call someone. I don't have to go through something. I don't have to make sure that I'm doing this. I do and go where I want. And I feel that when I'm supposed to have that happen for me, it's going to show up. And it's not going to be because I need it to be there. It's because I want it. No, I want to say need and want, but it's supposed to be there. And that's the thing. And I grew up with two loving parents, supportive parents, but they hated each other. And I grew up with it my whole life. I saw them hate each other. I like being single right now,
Doc,
but I do want love.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So how weird is that, though, right? So you grew up with both your parents, right, Rob?
I did.
Right. So would you say you had a loving house? Was that like a loving?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had like the stereotypical like
parents.
perfect. Now I want to say perfect, but I felt like it was as good. My dad worked, you know, every single day, provided. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. Right. You know, she provided love and discipline and all the, you know, so
it's like
I can't relate to the single. Right. I had the Huxtable scenario, and it's, for sure.
Now, my whole question, this is the wraparound here. And the whole question is this, though. Like, isn't it strange, though? Like, my mother and father weren't married. Like, matter of fact, like, when I was born, my father was married to someone else. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? But it was just different back in the day, however they came up and shit, right? But I didn't grow up in a household where that was going, where it was like mom and dad. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just mom. And, you know, that's it. Like, she mom, she dad, she Santa Claus, she all that. You know what I'm saying? She Easter Bunny, and, you know, she the teacher, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think growing up at first, I felt like I didn't really need that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I guess as it comes from...
You don't understand the impact of not having it.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. But, you know, like, as I get older now, I'm starting to feel like, you know, that is like... Like I just said, like, I would have never known, you know what I'm saying, that this would be the way it is. But I'm like, damn, like, how could you not live without finding somebody that you know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel I'm like super empathetic to all different upbringings, because, I mean, that's like the foundation. Like, everything that you are, I think, is a direct reflection of everything that happened on your path to growing up, you know? So when I look at other scenarios, like, how dad treated the daughter, how mother treated the son, how all of those things unfold as a young person. Yeah. I think, you know, you're really a collective of that, you know, as an adult. Absolutely. And then I think the mature adult is able to recognize those things.
And some of the faults.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Right. That happened as a young person, and you can kind of, I mean, it helps you. I think it gives you a better and more balanced viewpoint, you know, and people like you who take the time to analyze those things to help others, I think the conversation with people like you is definitely needed.
And I should take this away. Him and I talking, he's actually not an analyzer at all.
Really?
No, he doesn't analyze.
No, I mean,
like, well, he speaks from his own experience.
He is. And, like, even talking, like, my dad loved me. Like, I could do no evil. My mother, though, I would do all evil. And just seeing the relationship between the both, but... He's not an analyzer after we talked about it. And
one
thing I applaud her on is the whole aspect that she's admitting to the whole format that she needs to take the time to heal. You know, you can't really heal from what you won't deal with, what you won't acknowledge. How can you address what you won't confess? So her coming to the reality of saying, you know what, I'm stable in the situation that I'm in. You know, I'm not running. I'm not chasing after anything. The right thing is going to pursue me.
Right.
You know, and so I think a lot of people, you know, we take old hurt into a new relationship and expect the new relationship to heal the old pain that we have dealt with.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you act like you in the NBA because all you do is rebound.
Right. Exactly. There we go.
You know what I'm saying? And taking the time to be alone, Netflix and chill with yourself. You know, take yourself on a date. Send yourself some roses and get as excited as if somebody sent them to you when you receive them.
Yeah.
You know, taking that time because eventually the right person, the right things will locate you.
That's right.
Now do you, when people come to you for advice, I mean, you're a doctor, so I imagine people come to you with all sorts of problems and issues and things like that. Do you feel like you get more... Where do you feel like your best advice lay? Is it in relationships or is it in just human behavior? Like, where do you think you have the most knowledge and experience to be able to pass along?
You know, that's a good question. I think it all merges together. I've always been fascinated with psychology, you know, why people do what they do. Wanted to major in it when I was in college. I had a bad professor, so it detoured me from it. But education, which I went into, kind of brought me around the whole spectrum, because I have a class of 30 some odd students at one point, you know, teaching high school, and you got to deal with all these personalities, how they think this way. You got to think ahead of how they're thinking too, and their actions. So I'm dealing with human behavior, relationships, and helping people also to overcome the obstacles and the barriers. I like what you said when we were even talking in the hallway about dealing with having communication versus confrontation.
Right.
And how do you navigate that aspect, you know, because it's going to arise.
Yeah.
It's going to arise. People have different philosophies and ways of thinking, and nothing's wrong with that. You just had to find a bridge versus building a wall.
Right.
I agree. I mean, that's my big thing is, and it's a funny story so we can share, is Rob and I were out in the hallway. This is how we met him.
Yeah.
Oh, last week. Oh, yeah.
And we're going through our normal of like, okay, wait, this or that or that. And it's just like he like magically like appeared, wasn't it? Like he like magically appeared right here.
But and it was no sense in arguing.
You know what? But that's what we said is like sometimes people look at differences of opinion, especially now, is it's confrontation where it's not. It's communication.
Yeah.
Is that when you communicate that, okay, wait a second, I feel this a little bit, I feel that a little bit. It doesn't have to be conflict. It means it's communication. Yeah,
but you know what? And that's some, and I'm going to throw this out there. That's some bullshit, okay? Because this
God,
is the thing.
Tori.
This is the thing. No, because
why?
If you truly believe in that theory, then you have to be willing to put yourself in the other person's shoes. Mm-hmm. You can't always expect for someone to think the way that you think.
Right. And I want to add to, can I add to that?
What?
Communication is the process of talking and then listening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But no one wants to do both.
Nobody wants to do both.
It's like, you got to hear what I'm saying for you to be able to actually digest it and make it.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like that's some horrible shit. Like you shouldn't be like, but because who doesn't want to be right all the time? Who doesn't want to get their point across? Right. But we only human. Right. But still, it's like, come on, man. You got to be willing to be like, all right, I was a dick. Sorry about that. See, now I'm starting to cuss and shit. But see, I mean, like, you got to sit back and think to yourself, like, damn, that was
right. And then the other part of that is, I mean, communication is one thing, listening and like talking and actually listening.
Right.
But then it's like
we talked about last Friday.
The context of no. I mean, this is across the board, like, because this is like I would love to have a conversation with the doctor because I think this is. I would want to know: is this something you run across a lot? And I think everybody fails to take in all the context of any conversation. Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of times leads to these reactions. Because it's like, okay, if we're talking about, you know, police brutality, let's just say for an example.
Yeah.
And you hear the story and then immediately you react.
Right.
But with no context, you have no idea what the situation was. You have no idea what had happened prior to that circumstance. And so you can't have valid conversation without at least getting the information of why the situation happened in the first place. And I think that's across the board.
Yeah.
It's not just it's with every scenario that you talk about.
But you're talking about you are talking about something that makes sense. All right. And we are talking about real life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Real life doesn't always make sense.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just
and I get it.
But it's emotional, like emotion, I think, is what causes
it's emotion.
Yeah,
it's
you to not take into all the factors. You know,
emotion is something that it's like a trigger inside of you, and I think everybody has triggers that where something of a past experience you had a bad like experience with that it triggers you, and I don't know. It's hard for me to deal with emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like emotion is a really like when I'm triggered of something of a past of like a past experience. I'm fighting back at you. Yeah.
Right.
I'm fighting back at you.
You know what?
It's like a self-awareness thing though.
Like, I'm straight up like that though. Like I'm the type of person where if I don't mess with you, I don't mess with you. Like period. Mm-hmm. I don't care what's going on. Like I'm not if we don't gel or we know like I'm not going to be fake with you. Period. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be like, "Hey, what's going on?" If I don't fuck with you, I'm not going to even waste my time.
But see, okay, so Doc, I got a question. So, because we got a doctor, we got to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
So what you just said is interesting. I think this is my like analysis of that situation. When someone tells me, you know, if I don't mess with somebody, I don't mess with them.
Right.
Not saying anything about you and your decision to do that, but I think some of that is based on your experiences of people that's either backstabbed you or did something wrong to you.
For one, I mean, it's we've had a conversation. We talked, you know what I'm saying? I have an interest in history. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I've been locked up. I've been incarcerated. I've been in foster care. I've been in all types of situations. You know right. what I'm saying? And I don't, you know, naturally it should make me be one of the type of people that doesn't trust people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Doesn't trust the system.
Right.
You know, doesn't, you know, I could literally have a reason to be one of the people, you know, medically probably, like, you know, this motherfucker's crazy. I could be one of the people on the street that's, like, waiting for y'all to come out of here so I can rob your ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They could be like, well, look how you grew up. You know right. what I'm saying? But I'm not. And I actually do care about how people feel and stuff. But if we get to a point and it's like, you know what? We can't communicate. I can't talk to you. You can't talk to me. Instead of us getting to a point of getting aggressive and mm-hmm. all of that, this ain't worth my time.
Right. Well, I was going to ask, like, do you think there's tools that you can put in place to combat that? Because let's be honest, I'm sure that prevents a lot of great relationships from happening because there's not further dialogue. And you shut the dialogue down.
But I'm completely honest with myself about that.
Right.
You know, like, and when I say that I don't mess with you, it has to be like everybody judges people. And I know people say, oh, you shouldn't judge people. That's some bullshit. Everybody judges each other. You got to judge somebody just to know how to have a conversation with somebody. I mean, as a doctor, when somebody walk up to you and start talking to you, you immediately judging them because
they think he's smart.
Right. I mean, you're like, man, this motherfucker's smart as hell. Hey, doc, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so you immediately judging that person. You got to judge people. But, I mean, I'm not going to just assume automatically that, you know, you're just a horrible person. You have to really do something to me or, you know, affect me in a way to where I'm like, you know what? It's right.
Right. right.
But there is no circling back around. I'm like, well, maybe you okay. Nah, hell nah. I'll keep it cordial.
Right.
Hey, what's up, man? Keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Like, other than that, like, I don't have anything to say to you.
I mean, I remember growing up and having friends and they would be like the tough guys mm-hmm. and we'd be driving and then somebody would look at them a certain way.
Oh,
and then all of a sudden, it's like, what you looking, you know, like the tough guy come out. And like in hindsight and looking back at that, I think a lot of some of that is what you're talking about. Like in terms of, you know, I grew up a certain way and you're kind of, what's that word? You're really dealing with your own internal demons mm-hmm. and some of the things that happened to you as opposed to the person that's actually in that situation at that particular time. Right. So I was saying, back to my original question, was basically like, what tools do you, like if it's a young guy growing up in the city dealing with those type of situations where it's preventing them from growing and evolving as a person, like what are some of the tools that you would give them or suggest, you know, for them to deal with that type of stuff?
Well, one thing is good to have mentors as parameters in place, you know, because everybody's not going to always have a father or mother in their life. And sometimes you're void absent of that. And even sometimes if they're there, they're not there. There's a rift between that. But sometimes, you know, that aspect of mentorship is very, very key, significant, important. And then also a way to deal with anger. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it, you know, proactively? Understand that it's okay to be angry, but it's what I do with it.
Right.
That's Everybody really gets angry important. At times, but you know that level of anger is just one letter away from danger if you don't proactively use it. Using it in a way to go up and box, you know, at a gym. Using it in a way to go and work out, do some push-ups. Find a way to alleviate it positively to where you're not inflicting danger on yourself as well as hurt on somebody else. So, you know, and understanding that it's okay to have the emotion, but it's how we deal with it. And, you know, if you don't have your emotions in check, they'll wreck your life. They'll wreck your relationships. And everybody has a history. But when you allow that to get in the way of the possibility of you walking into your destiny, that's when it becomes a problem.
Do the book talk about the emotion of a woman?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
There's no way you can write about that without talking about it.
Yeah, we want to hear some about that.
I think they want to hear it. And I want for myself.
Well,
but go, please.
Well, I mean, the thing is, between men and women, you know, I think there are a lot of more similarities than there are differences, but the differences are not deficiencies. You know, men are, there's something that says, you know, you've heard the book, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Right.
But there's another way to that, and men are more like waffles and women are like spaghetti.
I love
Like, please elaborate.
Right. I'm trying to get there. Tell me.
As men, we compartmentalize our emotions more so. You know, we compartmentalize what we go through. She's just a friend. You know, she's nothing, as you tell your girl.
Well, is this a square in the waffle?
She's just one of the squares in the waffle.
Where does she go?
But the woman sees her as spaghetti. Because for her, everything is merged together. You can ask a woman about a relationship that ended 5 years ago, and she'll talk about it like it was 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For everything in her life is merged together. Mm-hmm. As a man, we'll just separate. We'll compartmentalize. A guy may cry, but he ain't going to cry for long.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
He's going to keep it moving. Yeah. A woman carries, in many cases, that womb, whether it's full or whether it's empty, especially with the baby. In many cases, sometimes if she has not let go of the hurt, it harbors within her. She's a nurturer by nature.
I feel like, didn't somebody say this on our show before?
Was it Tim? It was one of the guys from the Positive Zone or something like that.
Yeah, he said the same. Chris from the Positive Zone said the exact same thing that you said.
Yeah. I mean, it's true from that perspective, especially even the way that we communicate. Men, generally, women have about 25,000 words in their bank. Men have about 12.5. Men use about 6,500 at their job. A woman uses about 12.5 at her place of employment. You bring those two individuals together. She's still got about another 12.5. He's only got about 6.5 left. Right. And so once he runs out of words, she says, well, why you ain't saying nothing? For men, that we've used sense. In many cases our full of words.
Yeah.
And he's literally out. You ask a woman how her day was, she'll communicate more from feelings. He'll communicate from facts.
Yeah.
Right, she says, how was your day? He says it was all right, because for him, it really was all right.
Yeah.
Nothing bad happened.
No more, no less.
Right. For her, she's going to tell you from the moment she slipped her feet into the slippers at 5:38 in the morning.
Oh, man.
And she's going to be very, very detailed. That's why your woman could tell you, hey, no, you do it this way. She's already mapping and strategizing. She's thinking from a different vantage point, mm-hmm. even with her female woman intuition, that she wants you to see it from this perspective to, in many cases, hone it down to where you don't use as much time you can spend that time with her.
Exactly. I'm straight to it. I'm on the phone. I'm like, look, I'm about to walk into the movie theater. I don't have time. Let me figure this shit. I'll call you back. I'm straight to it. She's already like on a whole nother. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
I love that word bank thing. Like, I'm about to steal that and put it into my arsenal. Yeah. Thank you very much for that nugget.
It's true.
Look, you just got that another 7.5 words. I love you up.
I hope y'all caught that. Like, I really do hope y'all caught that. Ooh, that was
just
great.
You just like put a plethora of things in our
head. You know, because that reminds me of the whole thing. Like, I do a lot of marketing and branding. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would have trouble explaining was that you can multitask, you can do a lot of different things, but the reality is you have a creative bank of knowledge, and you're constantly pulling from that bank. Mm. And if you think that the bank won't run empty, you're mistaken. So, you know, explaining that to other team members and people that would work with me, it's like, look, we need to put our energy for today into this specific project. We can't be all over the place, because you may think it's like this little thing, but it's pulling from your creativity. Yeah. I think that's kind of like the same thing. It's like, if you know you have, it's an understanding that, look, you have a large bank of words and potential communication, and mine is really small.
Right.
So I'm going to run out of mine way before you run out of yours. Mm-hmm. You know,
another you can't create in chaos.
Right.
You know, chaotic environment, chaotic relationships, it pulls away at that level of creativity you talked about.
Yeah,
you know, it does.
And we talked about, too, is that a lot of, like, health issues, too, like we said, is stress. When you're stressed out.
You're holding all that stuff inside.
It does. It's that emotional energy that's being held inside your body, because if your mind is thinking, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm this, I got this, I got that, I got that, I got that, your whole body starts attacking itself, and it's true. And I think that's one thing that I've done personally as myself, as Doris, as a female, or whatever I want to be, Arabic, Hispanic, whatever, is I have went into positivity. And positivity meaning that, okay, shit happens. There's bad stuff that happens. Sometimes it affects me. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes if it does, I am, like, my hair falls out. Like, I am tired. I am emotionally drained. Like,
I project all of that things to me, where when I started meditating and everyone would tell me, you're meditating, so you just sit in a circle and just project silence.
Humming.
And I'm like, no. That's not me. I don't have to do it like how everyone does, is that I just take an hour with, I'm not on Insta stories. I'm not on Instagrams. And Tori and I talked about this. I'm not absorbing other people's energy. Right. Mm. I'm just taking a minute, and I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to take a few minutes for myself to be like, this is me time. Mm-hmm. I'm not absorbing anything else that's coming in my space. And it's just me. And
a man and woman thing too. Like, I think women, like, even if you're watching a social media feed and you see something that's happened to a baby or animal or something, and you guys like really feel it, like,
oh,
it's
man.
Yours, you know, like the impact of it. Whereas
right.
We like look at it, oh, that's too bad. Yeah. On to the next thing, you know,
it's
we
like,
don't.
Oh, the baby.
I do, and for me, that's just something how I am. Like, I can't see an animal hurt. Like, when I've been seeing United Airlines about this,
the dog,
this puppy that was on the flight. I keep scrolling. I don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see a pain. And I don't think it should be nationally put out everywhere that this dog died. Like, show me something positive. Like, mm-hmm. don't show me that this bad thing, because I have enough already with my family members, with things in my household, when there's pain that I have to deal with or fix or help or heal or everything.
It's like the pros and cons of social media and, you know, this digital world. You get exposed to so much.
We're fed a lot. I mean, it's you are what you eat. And whether that be like physically eating something or something that you're taking in mentally, you know, like a conversation could be horrible and can be like bad for your health.
Right.
I've been in situations where I've literally been so worried or so pissed off that I get sick. To my stomach, like I want to throw up, you know what I'm saying? Like, or I just literally come down with some illness all of a sudden, right? But I mean, it's all about the things that you put in your body. I think here in the United States, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is we perpetuate craziness, like illness. Mm-hmm. That's all we perpetuate. I got a friend who's from Georgia, not the state, but the country, right? You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's good. But, yeah, that's the button pushing right there.
So, I mean, like, but and the first thing he said to me, like, you know, he's like, man, T, it's like every motherfucker here is always sick from something. You know, like, I come here, you're sick from the meat, you're sick from the cheese, you're sick from the bread, you're sick from the conversation. Everybody is so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, what the fuck you mean? Like, I mean, people get sick. Niggas like, you know, cold. He's like, no, man, it's different. He's like, how long? And he's asking me questions about, like, you know, different stuff. And I'm like, man, you know what? Now that I think about it, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
We breed illness.
Yeah.
In every possible 100%. Way. Like, we would, our companies, our pharmaceutical companies and medical, and, you know, and big time medical, you know, pharmaceutical whatevers, like the heads of hospitals, they don't give a fuck about you getting well.
Mm-hmm.
They give a fuck about you paying your bill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's so serious to the point to where they would rather you die than to be like, hey, we have a cure for this.
Yeah.
We would rather treat it than to heal it.
I mean, that's kind of basically what they're talking about in terms of like just healing from the inside out.
Right.
Like I don't know, you know, like all the information. I don't really care to look it up and research it, but I thoroughly believe I'm mentally in control of whether I get sick or not. Like, I believe it so hard. Like, I don't know the last time I've been sick for real. And I believe, like, a lot of it have to do with I'm not going to get sick. Like, I've just decided I'm not going to get sick. You know, and I don't know how much that impacts it. And obviously, it happens every blue moon. But I just think people that believe they're sick or coming down with something all the time always come down with something, you
except
know?
Jessica Jones, because she was really, really sick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, I'm not saying like germs and things don't impact
it happens, but.
Yeah, but I just think like you can mentally control so much more than we will ever realize.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean,
what do you think?
Oh, I definitely do believe and agree with that. You know, it's
survivor of cancer.
Yeah, right. A lot of it is mind over matter, you know, and what you mm-hmm. speak out into the yes. atmosphere is going to eventually appear. You know, yes. I believe your words create your world. Keep saying you're a failure. You keep saying you're sick. You keep saying you're ill. This, that, and the other. It's going to eventually.
It's so nice to hear a doctor say that.
Do you feel yeah. like before you had the cancer, like there were some signs like showing up like that or what you were going through before the cancer like showed up?
Yeah, I believe there were some signs that I even ignored. I know I was feeling this level of pain in my chest that I was ignoring. You know, I just believed I could just grin and bear it and just, you know, just push my way through it. And the pain just continued to exacerbate, you know, grow more and more. And I just continued to ignore it more and more until I just couldn't ignore it anymore.
Man.
You know.
Like something like brought you down to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go to the hospital. And
absolutely. It felt like it was a sharp pain. It felt like somebody was literally stabbing me in my chest. I was breathing every two breaths to a certain degree.
Wow.
You know, so.
Did you have stress going on or no?
Yeah, it was stress. It was stress.
No, and it's okay yeah. because cancer, yeah. it's one of the things that we yeah. don't know enough of yeah. to understand. But
there was definitely stress in my life. Stress of school, you know, stress of trying to fit in, stress of the home life. You know, and we just figured, you know, a lot of times we don't give enough credit to the whole aspect that our young people do deal with some levels of stress just because mm-hmm. they're not paying bills, don't have their own car and written all that in their name unless the mother and mama put it in the name.
Right.
Put the phone bill in the name, right?
Right.
They do have levels of stress as well that we need to be cognizant of. And that whole aspect of mental health is so synonymous with what takes place with your body.
And mental mm-hmm. health is, I was talking to somebody about this again, is like we can go into a doctor and be like, we're not feeling good mm-hmm. and get taken care of. But when the minute that we say we have something in our brain, mm-hmm. something in our head, like that doesn't feel right. Oh my God, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. This is like, you can't be that way with mental health. And we mm-hmm. look at in Devon, one of his topics, actually, it's a good segue. You can talk about this now just to bring it in right now because I would love to hear your input on this. And Devon's one of our interns. He yeah. does his hot topics that he yeah. brings on in.
Yeah.
But talk about Parkland.
Mm.
So he's trying to get his headphones on.
Are you talking about the
Parkland?
The walkouts?
Yeah.
No, we're just talking about. Yeah. So a bunch of students yesterday walked out of school for 17 minutes and for each person that was killed in the Parkland shooting. So mm-hmm.
so 17 minutes for the 17 people that were
right
hurt yeah. in the Parkland
shooting. It was a lot of mixed reviews on the whole walkout.
You know situation. What? This is my thing with that. And when I was in high school, I went to San Carre Marine Immersion High School and Academy on East Jefferson and MacDougall. And it's no longer that, it's life skills. But anyway, I went to school there, and I remember, I forget, it was something about Detroit Public Schools
mm-hmm.
and something about funding for education or something like that. And as a kid, I was a radical. I was like all into like, you know, it's true. Like mentors, you know, there were people in my life who showed me things outside of where I grew up, you know, and it got me excited about other things. It got me involved in politics and stuff like that. But I remember it was supposed to be all the schools were going to walk out, right? And I get called down to the office. Dean of students and the president of the school is sitting in the office waiting for me. I get in there. They got gang squad sitting in there, two police officers.
Mm.
And the dudes like pat me down. And I walk in there and I sit down like, what's up? What's going on? It's like, Torium, if one student walks out of this damn school today, you will never go to a school in the city of Detroit again. And they always thought I was leading some shit, right?
Really? Wow.
Which geeked me up, though, because I felt like, oh, damn, people listen to me like that?
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh.
So you're the ringleader.
What? You done fucked up now, dog. You shouldn't have told me that, dog. I will walk out right now with all these cops standing here. What y'all going to do? You going to lock me up? Don't touch me. But I commend those students because that's right. That's how you get involved. And I hate the administrators and the principals and the schools that kind of shut them kids down. They were like, if you walk out of here, you're going to be suspended. You got to go to class another mm-hmm. day. Dude, fuck you. All right? Because when your taxes go up, when your car insurance is fucked up and you want to go out and protest in front of some shit, nobody's like, oh, well, your ass better be back at the school in 15 minutes or you won't have a fucking job. Right. You out there, you know, letting your voice be heard. Let these kids' voice be heard. Let them get out here. Let them be a part of the political process.
Right.
It's fucked up.
Right. And I mean, it's not like they're not being exposed to the stuff that's happening. And, you know, it would be one thing if, you know, this was 15 years ago where nobody really knew or it wasn't like the conversation that was being had. But the reality is the parents talking about it. It's on social media.
Yeah.
It was a horrific thing that happened.
Right.
They recognize that it happened. So to say that you don't have an opinion on it or, you know, you don't feel a certain type of way, like that would just be kind of unrealistic and
right.
Insensitive to the fact that they do have an opinion, you know.
Right. So, you're an educator. Talk to us about it.
Well, I taught in the school system. I've actually had students who died of gun violence. Mm. And so it definitely hits home to me. And I applaud and champion the young people
Word.
For walking out, you know, the 17 minutes for the 17 young people. And of course, the gun laws needed to be changed.
Yeah.
You know, something's got to be done.
Something
we're losing our young people in the droves like that. And the whole aspect of mental health and awareness and not putting, allowing guns to be in the hands of people who are insane like that.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And the president is wasting his time at a conference with video game people talking about why video games are so violent. Now, I'm gonna throw this out here. And I mean, people on Facebook, y'all can agree or disagree. I don't give a shit, actually. But anyway, I feel like somebody playing a video game or watching a movie or something, that movie and video game is not what gets them up to say, I'm gonna go into a school and pull a fire alarm and shoot up every kid come running out the fucking out of the classroom. I'm gonna go in a building and blow it up. Mm-hmm. That's something that they already were, you know, that's something already in their mind. It wasn't Call of Duty that made them want to go kill a bunch of people. Maybe Call of Duty made them want to join the military, but that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. Maybe Call of Duty made them want to join the Air Force or something, but that's a whole other conversation, right? So while you're pointing fingers at stuff like that, I mean, really look at, like, what's going on and what's affecting people. And that was another thing I said, too. The schools in the inner city, we've always had metal detectors and police at the front door. And, you know, and even though we've recovered a lot of handguns and automatic weapons, our kids usually don't go up into school and shoot up the school.
Right.
If it's a problem, it's like, I'm going to wait till this dude come out the side door and I'm going to hit his ass. And
right.
I'm out.
Right.
Period. Or I'm not even going to school. I'm going to catch him wherever I'm going to catch him at.
Right.
Period. Right. But the problem becomes real when it starts to hit in areas where it's not the inner city, where you don't have this high population of violence, where you have a lot of color folks.
Right. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's like, no layers of consequence either, you know? So, you know, if you are in an area where there's not metal detectors or any thought that something might happen to you for bringing a gun to school,
right,
then the likelihood of you trying it and doing it is way higher. You know, like if you go to the city or, I mean, even if you go to the airport for that matter,
right,
you know, and you got a gun,
yeah,
you know, like there's going to be consequences.
But it's not people from, you know, other countries and stuff coming over here or illegal immigrants and stuff. It's people from here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
we're almost done. And I honestly, we're Facebook friends. Yeah. You're probably going to be my best friend forever. No joke. You know what? I admire you. I think that what you have done when you told me your guidance counselor said that you will never be this.
Right,
and you are doing it. Mm-hmm. You're on your eighth book.
Yeah.
You're doing things that are relevant, that are important, mm-hmm. and that people want to hear about. That and not to say like the science fiction books are not bad, but mm-hmm. we need more understanding. We need mm-hmm. more conversation.
Yes, indeed.
And even you being a doctor, yes, you are going to, for a lot of people, be like, they're going to come to you. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there for you because what the work that you did that many people haven't done has done mm-hmm. is important.
Well, we will definitely be here for
and
you.
So,
you are more than welcome
speaking.
To come back anytime.
But he's speaking. Mm-hmm. Tell everyone.
Yeah, where are you speaking at?
When you're speaking.
Oh,
next.
Yeah. I have an event coming up actually Friday, April the 6th. It's the day before my birthday. I'm doing a birthday and a book signing.
Oh, 2 days before my birthday.
Yeah.
Is it really?
No,
three days.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. April 6th at PV Lounge, 1435 Randolph in the city of Detroit. Starts at 7 p.m. Entry is free, but you got to RSVP. Info@eddieconnor.com, EDDIECONNOR.com. Also, you can get the book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Audible is available, ebook, physical copy, as well as audiobook. And then you can even get a signed copy that day.
All right, we're going to post the link, too. I'll make sure under the comment section that we post like where it's at. Yeah. I'm going.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want you to be there. I want you to be there. Y'all all invited.
Thank Friday.
Friday, April 6th.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Eddie Conner.
It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you here with us, brother. Thank you so much for being here. His new book out, Woman. Make sure y'all pick that up. Thank you all for joining us again for another Thursday. We will see you again next week. Same place, same fucking channel.
Oh, next week we're going to have veterans.
Oh, yeah. Next week we'll have
on the show. And they're going to talk about, like we talked about, the football players putting down a knee and that it affected veterans. Well, we have three veterans that want to talk about how it really affected them.
So we're going to open up some old wounds. Mm-hmm. But thank you for joining us again this week. We'll see you again next week. Same place, same time. Right here in Detroit Podcast, only on Detroit Podcast Detroit. Boom, there it is.